And if DuPont sees that it's valuable, I'll pay you $10 million for that trademark, for that patent. Can't nobody take intellectual knowledge from you. You got intellectual ownership of something because you got a mind that can think. And I bet you, man, if it's going to make DuPont $60 million to $60 billion, they'll pay you $10.
That's right.
What they going to tell you? Hey, bro, you got this thing. I see the potential. It's going to make us $60 billion. But I won't pay you $10 million because you black. They ain't going to say that. There ain't no racism. Who got the money or who can make the money for them? I guarantee you, if you got intellectual property in your head, they don't care what color you are because you're making the man some money. America runs off of money, Jack. And if you got an intellectual mind that can make some money for somebody, they're not going to talk about you being black. You're too black to make me money. I don't like your blackness, although it will make me $10 trillion. Are you crazy? But here we are. Food stamp come out on the 1st. And my voucher come on the 10th. And let me see here. I'll have to make that stretch. Because I need some shoes. I need some groceries. I got to get myself a fill for liquor. See, that's how crazy this thing is. You put limitations on your own mind and talk about what somebody going to do to black people. You got to break out of this. Man, this thing here is like blinders on folk.
If Obama says if Trump is elected, he's going to destroy my legacy. Okay, let's look at your legacy. I got homosexuals in the military. I got a dude dressed in drag using the bathroom with your daughter. I got Obamacare going up by 25 to 115%. That's okay. What's the legacy, man? Show me. Okay, what's the legacy? I'm waiting on the legacy, man. What's the legacy? Unemployment of young black youth, something like 70% or something crazy. What's the legacy, man? Where's the industry in the hood? Where are the corporations coming to the hood? Where are the plants that are coming to the hood from overseas? If you got a plant in China or in Korea or in Mongolia or wherever it is, hey, look, we got a resource right here in the hood that we can use these folk to make this stuff. You can put together a watch down in the hood in a plant, man. Why don't we give them tax breaks to bring that plant back from Mexico to the hood where it used to be? The Ford plant used to be in Hampton over here in Hayteville in the hood. And folk were making some good money from Ford. Your dad was pulling down $70,000 to $80,000 a year from Ford. And it's going to Mexico. My thing is, if you want to help black people need economic avenues into success. You know why they're shooting up everybody in Chicago? Because everybody unemployed, trying to battle for the few drugs they can sell, and they territorial, trying to sell the drugs to a bunch of hopeless folk. Once you get your food stamp money in that you trade in for some money to go buy your crack. Now it's imploded and killing everybody in the hood because of limited resources. Don't you know if you got 20 dogs in a pit and you throw in one steak, you know what's going to happen? Them dogs are going to kill each other over that steak. That's what's happening. You limit the resources, you'll start murder. Because they're vying for the limited drug trade in the hood. We just got a limited crack trade here. And so we got to kill up all of our competitors so we can supply the crack for these few junkies around here. And we got to wait till the 1st of the month when the food stamp money come in and they go and sell their food stamp for $200. They got $400 for a cheap food stamp, they sell for $200. And they come back and buy their crack. They know the food stamp not going to food. This is an EBT card. Anybody can use this thing. You go to the store and just hang around the store all day and you say, okay, you got $100 for groceries? If you give me $30, you can swipe my card to buy it. That's what they're doing. Wake up. They'll walk behind you in the store. Excuse me, ma'am, how much you got in that? I think it's about $85 and you're bugging. Now I got $400, $500 on this card. So I'll swipe this for Give me $50. I'll swipe it. Pay for your $85 bill. Y'all say you're $35. That's going on all day. That's a multi-billion dollar industry. The food stamp scam. I tell it. We got to get rid of him. He exposing us. He telling what we doing. Like the government don't know. Don't you really know that? You think the government don't know where the dope coming from? They know where it's coming from because they bringing it. Come on, man. Wake up. The hardest thing for people to do is to wake up. Hillary says she just admires Miss Sanger, the woman that brought abortion in, who brought in this eugenics to kill black folks, to get rid of the black race. We'll start abortion to do it. Robert Byrd is my mentor, a Klansman. You are in the voting booth just, thank God for Hillary. Yo, are you crazy? The Christian is supposed to be obeying God. Isaiah 3:12 says, children are your oppressors. Women rule over you. Oh, my people, they that lead you into error. That's the Bible. But you tell God, jump in a lake and curse the Bible. Looking out for what you think is your advancement politically when it's just a game. They're not going to do one thing for you. They hadn't done anything for you over the last 20, 30, 40 years. What makes you think tomorrow will be different from today? The agenda is a new world order agenda. They take orders from the world elite and they do what they're told to do or else. Come on, man. The whole world lies in the wicked one. Well, you're saying to vote for Trump. I'm not telling anybody to vote for Trump. I'm telling you, you got no pony in the race. You got to pray to God about what to do. Immoral, renegade, wife butt naked and all these ads. You the first lady walking around butt naked everywhere. You know they're going to pull up every butt naked picture of this lady that they can find after she get in there. Or a dictatorial Jezebel spirit, that hardcore Jezebel. Can you imagine this lady as the commander-in-chief? You know what's going to happen? The first time a five-star general says, I disagree with that. She's going to be so, who are you to stand? I am the commander-in-chief, I would have you to know. You address me as such, General Chaffin. Y'all remember that movie? What was that? Was that David or something? No, it was Jeremiah, wasn't it? General Chaffin. And see, that's what's happening. What you're going to see is massive exodus from the higher ranks of the military because they ain't going to take that. A real commander ain't going to take that. They're not going to take that. They're going to walk. It's going to be a high attrition. They're going to turn over rapidly, and you're going to bring up unqualified homosexuals to lead the military. That's why they put them in there, to promote them to places of command so that when they come after us, there'll be no resistance. That's why they're making them judges, making them policemen, making them the chief of police. They're doing that on purpose. They're putting them in the pulpit so there'll be no resistance from church folk. They're getting church folk acquainted with and adapted to homosexual leadership. Somebody got Jakes flying around everywhere. And you sit up there thinking that's a prophet. That's a homosexual. You can't see the effeminacy looking at you. What's wrong with you? What is wrong with everybody? You're looking right at it. They're getting you accustomed to the sodomites. So when the sodomites turn on the church, you will be programmed to stand with the sodomites. That's why Madea's in front of you. That's why Ellen DeGeneres is on TV every day. That's why this tough looking man-like woman is in front of you with Wendy Williams. That's why it's on The View with Whoopi Goldberg. And little Raven Simone as a lesbian. They're programming you. Anybody that stands against these people who have become your friend. Don't you know the TV is a medium to acquaint you with demons? So demons become your familiar friends. You got a familiar spirit now with Ellen DeGeneres, and she is more accommodating to you than a normal person. See, a heterosexual is foreign now, and Ella DeGeneres is so nice. She makes you laugh. She's so funny. She's got a great personality. She's so friendly. So this mean guy standing up here on the internet right now yelling at me, he's so mean. But Ellen DeGeneres, she gives away stuff. She gave away a car the other day. Oprah just took a person in and gave them all the money for college. So she loves people. And you're just so mean. You're mean, Price. You're mean. And now the guys have been made into docile little wimpy dudes that have no stand. And if anybody speaks within the authority, they recoil. They back away from them. And they say it standing there, Jesus Christ speaks as one that has authority, not like the scribes and the lawyers, not like the Pharisees and Sadducees. He speaks as he has authority to represent God. And these little docile, wimpy dudes, they don't have any kick in them. They got no authority. A woman by nature will be drawn to an authoritative man. If she's a normal woman, she'll be drawn to him. Like, hey, man, I can follow this guy. Let me put him with this guy. He's getting ready to do some things. They be getting happy like, finally, somebody going to do something. Amen. What's got women frustrated is the lack of guys willing to do something. They sit and just, I don't know. Well, we better not. I don't want to cause no problem. I started asking for a promotion, but the boss looked at me funny. And I just backed out of the office. I've been making the same $5.25 for 35 years. And I thought I could make him a little bit more money, but he came in and looked at me mean. I just turned around, got out of there. I guess we got to move. Man, why don't you go and ask for a raise? You've been the other guy's making $18, $20 an hour. You making $5.25. Well, I just got to trust the Lord. No, man, hold it. Wait a minute. Something's not right. It's nothing worse than to be a woman walking with a gutless, spineless guy. And you trying to a prop job. You trying to prop him up. I bought you a suit. I bought you a tie. Now run down here and get a haircut before we go, because I don't want to be walking there looking like a fool. Get your hair cut. Straighten your stuff up. Go down here to Florsheim and get yourself some shoes. Don't get some plain black socks. You hear me, you idiot? Get plain black. Don't you come in with them striped socks. You get some plain black socks. Get a white handkerchief. No, don't get nothing colored, because I don't want you to know colors. You hear me, boy? Get a plain white shirt, because you'll be a fool and get the wrong color. It won't match. And bring it back here for me to inspect it. And then we'll go on down to this meeting tonight. All right? Because you got a prop job. You get them all dressed up, or you got your blue suit on, okay, you got everything, okay, you look all right. Now here, put this $10 in your pocket. Don't you spend a dime of it, fool. You keep the $10 in your pocket so you look like you got something in your pocket when they look at your pocket like you got a little money rolled in it. Roll it up real tight so it'll make a little buzz so you look like you got some money. Don't you spend a dime of it. You hear me? Not a dime. You better not have no change in your pocket. Don't have nothing jingling in your pocket, because I know you broke the 10 if you do. And you be ready to go by 7:30. All right, bae. I'll be ready to go. Bae. That's why I want to throw you in. The bae. The Bay of Biscayne or something. Look, man. At some point, this thing has to change. The church is dried up because there's no men that are willing to step up to the plate and just be a normal, two-fisted, everyday Joe Blow kind of a guy. All you need is Andy Griffith or somebody like that. You don't have to be dictatorial and loud and abrasive and crazy. Just be a regular Joe Blow guy. Stop cowering down to all these Jezebel spirits. This thing will walk into the White House, and at that point, every masculine man will have a target on their back. Because you are just going to be mean. You're going to be chauvinistic, a misogynist that hates women. You're going to be just so intolerant. And they're trying to eradicate masculinity from a man's persona. What woman wants to sit around with a man that acts like a girl? I mean, for real, he's more girl than you are. What woman wants to be with a guy that acts like a girl? He coming into the bedroom with some lace panties on and a nightie. Move over, baby. Let me get in. Curl up beside me. Curl up beside you. I'm going to slap you. Women have been trained in this present day economy to accommodate a sissy guy, an effeminate guy that acts just like a girl. Following behind Jay-Z, Lil Wayne, Kanye West, 2 Chainz. I guess he got him another chain. Used to be 1 chain, now he got 2. Waka, Flocka, Flame. What's your name? Mrs. Flame. See how stupid it is? 50 cents. I guess you worth a quarter, you is better have. He 50 cents, you a quarter. That's how stupid this is. I'm with Snoop Doggy Dog. This is moronic, insane garbage. And you actually seen on the street, walking down the street with them? Tony Braxton walking down the street with Birdman. Look at this. For real? You're proud of this? I say that, they get mad at me. As if it's normal. What am I describing? The wisdom of the demons. When you become demon possessed, the wisdom is skewed because you bought into the demonic manifestations of a false presentation of reality. You think this junk is valid. It's driven you insane, and now you try to defend it because the demons you allowed in you are defending themselves. It's not just a person standing up and not liking what you're saying. They are demonized, and now the demons are offended, and they resist the truth. The Bible says they resist the truth. And God has sent you a strong delusion because you allow the demons to manipulate your mind and your will. You subject yourself to the demons. You feed on the demons. Now anything that is godly becomes your enemy. That's why you think people, why you think your kids stand up against what you're saying? Because they've been demonized by Trey Song, by R. Kelly, by Beyonce, Rihanna, Nicki Minaj, Trina. They're demon possessed by these things that are antichrist. So when you stand up, none of these entertainers are just entertainers. They are inspired and embodied by demons. So they're feeding your child an antichrist agenda and an antichrist mindset. So when you bring Christ to them, your child stands up and resists it. They've been infiltrated by other entities. Other personalities have taken over. Trey Song is not an innocent singer. Chris Brown is not innocent. He's singing into that young girl whoredoms, being a slut, being nasty. All this old junk. You be on the top, I be on the bottom. We're trading places. You big punk. And the girl getting used to that, a little sissy dude. Yeah. The guy that walked in, I want to hit it. Let me hit it. Talking about having sex with a girl. Okay. Now your daughter, a brain dead dummy, a moron, taking on 20, 30, 40 guys before she even finished middle school. Cause Trey Song sang that trash into her. See, somebody better wake up out of this coma. Somebody better come to themselves. I'm dependent on an army of young people to say, you know what? I've been through the trash. I know what you're talking about. See, they know what I'm talking about. And they need to come to themselves. You know what? I'm tired of being trash. I'm tired of being a whore. I'm tired of being a whoremonger and a no good, dirty, little sissified dude. Man, let me rise up and become a man. I'm depending on a young guy saying, you know what? I want to be a man. You don't know how to be a man because you didn't have a daddy. And the men you were around, your peer group, they didn't have fathers. So nobody knows how to be a man. I'm here to teach you how to be a man. But you got to submit to the authority and the instructions of God so God can forge you into a man. You weren't born a man. You were born a male, but not a man. Jesus Christ must be now made into the only thing that matters in your life for you to be a man. And you got to have a fellowship with him until he transforms you into a man. You got to be forged into a man again. manhood is foreign to this whole world. You were brought up by your mama with no identity and no idea about a man. A man is foreign. But that's why you sink low into depression. You feel badder and worse and worse. I'm going to show you in a minute why that is. You get worse and worse, and you feel like you're hopeless, despondent. That's why people commit suicide. Because they're outside the kingdom of God, where you'll find love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith. The attributes of God, which will make you feel better and feel all right. And you'll feel like you're prosperous. You'll feel like you got identity. You'll feel like you're moving and shaking in life. But when you get up under the devil, depression, hopelessness, frustration, anxiety, pitiful, despondent, desperate. All that's going to come on you. Until you finally do what? Cry out to God to save me from this heaviness over my life. Nobody wants to be under the devil. They just don't know. Once you now see, sowing is fun, but that reaping, good buddy. The Bible says with God, you do what? You sow in tears and reap in joy. But with the devil, you sow in joy and you reap in tears. The club was funny out there, high, twerking, high, just twerking like a dog, just backing it up, just twerking. Just laughing, yelling, screaming, drinking liquor, smoking the dope, yelling. That's sowing time. But when reaping comes, now you're depressed. Now you feel like you're about to lose your mind. You feel like you're going insane. You're thinking about suicide. Man, I would just go out here and just take some pills and kill my crazy self. What use is there to living anyway? I don't want to wake up in the morning. It's bad when you wake up and hate to see the sunlight outside. I hate the day. I hate to wake up. I hate to get up out of bed. I despise living. That's bad, man. That's bad because the devil has brought that depression on you. And he's trying to get you to commit suicide. And then after suicide, there's hell. You didn't escape anything. Now you're eternally depressed in the pit. You didn't get escape. You got a ramping up of your conditions. So you see now, look at Jude. These angels left their first habitation, and he has reserved them to an everlasting chain under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. Now look, what the world has been given over to fornication. You understand that, right? Fornication is pornography, porneia. Look at everything that's got to be disgraceful and appended to fornication and filth. Beyonce singing about being in the backseat of a limousine, performing oral sex on Jay-Z, with him spewing semen all over her dress. That's what she sings about. He Monica Lewinsky'd all over my gown. I guess we won't make it to the concert or the club tonight or whatever. And the people, and Hillary Clinton stands there beside both of them, holding them, just happy. And you're talking about Donald Trump and what he said. And now you embrace this filth for the blacks, for the what you think are ignorant, dumbed down, stupid blacks. I need their vote so that I'll just get with these dumbed down, ignorant morons and stand up here with them in order to solicit your vote. This is some pitiful mess down here, buddy. It's some pitiful mess. And these black folk are going to go right to the voting booth on Tuesday and get taken for another ride. Look what he says. They're in chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. Sodom and Gomorrah giving over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise what?
Dominion.
Dominion. Speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel contended with the devil. He disputed about the body of Moses. Dared not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." What's he talking about? The fact that Michael the archangel had authority because he was submitted to authority. You remember the centurion that told Jesus, wanting to get healing for his servant? He said, "Listen, first of all, Jesus, I am a man under authority, and I have other men under me. Wherefore, I know you don't have to come to my house. Speak the word only and my servant shall be healed." What was he saying? I'm a commander. I recognize the fact that you are a commander. because command authority can recognize command authority. I know you don't have to come to my house because I got people subject to me. I tell them what to do. I tell them go here, go there, and they obey me. Speak the word and my servant will be healed. Jesus said, your servant is healed. He turned around and hit the door. And Jesus said, I haven't seen such great faith. No, not in Israel. Why? Because he recognized command authority that the church won't recognize. That's why we don't have power, because nobody wants to submit to proper authority. I told my daughter last night, you can go everywhere on this planet looking for help. You can talk to all of your peers. You can talk to anybody on earth. But if you want to be set free, you got to come through me. My semen made you. You didn't make me. What's your last name, girl? You bear my last name. I don't bear yours. You got to come through me. Honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment with promise, that you might do well and live long upon the earth. Without recognition of proper authority, you'll never succeed in this life. And you'll lead a frustrated life trying to figure out why nothing works for me. You're trying to figure out why your husband won't get right and succeed, and he keeps going back to failure because he resists proper authority. That's the root of it. And they go all around the mulberry bush trying to make things work, trying to think of something else to do, until you come right back to the foot of Jesus. And accept the fact that the head of every man is Christ. The head of Christ is God, and the head of every woman is the man. Until you get right there, you'll never make it. They despise dominions. They speak evil of dignities. They don't understand proper protocol. That's what's wrong with church. And not wanting to accept proper authority, you go to some pseudo authority and sit there and try to pretend that it's real. And the false church is billowing, full of what? Rebels. These are rebels against God. They are antichrist, because when legitimate authority is raised up, they resist it. They resist it because of what? It's patriarchal. And the only surrogate you have and replacement you have for patriarchal authority is matriarchal authority. So what happens? Young women raised without a daddy put on their stilettos and short dresses and start preaching to everybody and run women ministries. Look how they never incorporate a man. They got women divided from the men off to themselves. Juanita Bynum, Paula White, Prophetess Weeks, all these folks. They call out the women who are bitter and angry against men. And then they say, vote for me for president. You understand now the voting rolls are 55% women, right? If you got any kind of a rebellion from the women that's going to turn to vote for masculine authority, we're going to backfill with what? Homosexual men. Because they're not going to be up under a man either. They're going to always go for matriarchy. We're going to cut the heart out of the man and make him eunuchs so that feminine leadership feels good to them too. So when the women won't vote for the matriarchy, we'll backfill with homosexual gutted guys that'll fill the void. That's what Medea is there for. So your son can see Medea. Why you laughing at him? Your son watching that man in drag. And watch your boy start acting like a girl. Start talking about, I got an identity crisis. I'm a man, but I identify as a woman. And wanting to wear your dresses and your heels. Your boy in the closet putting on his mama's high heels. Thinking that's funny. Because you put Medea in front of him. You went to see the movie with Medea in it. You went to the down to the mega mess with Medea on display. This ain't funny. It's turning your boy into a girl and you letting it happen and you don't even care. It's not pretty. Nothing is nice. See, some people are serious about their salvation. Some folk don't laugh at nothing I say. They take it to heart. They say, you know what? I'm changing and I'm getting into this. I'm getting serious about what I'm doing, because they understand time is of the essence. We don't have the luxury of time. Time has run out. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is what? Brute beast. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Notice now all of this is rebellion. Remember, Korah was complaining against Moses, rebellion. Remember Miriam complaining against Moses, struck with leprosy. God don't tolerate rebellion in the kingdom of God. We better wake up out of this rebellious stupor and realize God is not playing with anybody. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds there are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withers, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. Now he's quoting from the book of Enoch that makes up one of the books of the Apocrypha, legitimizing the Apocrypha. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. I guess he's talking about somebody or something that is ungodly. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaking great swelling words have men's persons in admiration because of advantage. In other words, they are flattering people in order to get advantage over them. You're a prophetess, you're a prophet, you're an apostle. Oh, you're an anointed speaker. Oh, you are just so brilliant. Oh, you got a great demand of that word. You really something that you command that word beautifully. Your exegesis was so brilliant. And all that stuff is in order to take advantage of you. But beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. Notice how all of this is ungodly now. These be they who separate themselves. What are they? Sensual. They're soulish. They depend on their five carnal senses. That will deceive you every time. Don't let your senses lead you. We're led by the Spirit. As many as are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, not your senses. Your senses can be deceived. Don't trust in what you see and hear, taste, touch, and smell. The Spirit speaketh expressly. In the latter days, some shall depart from the faith. The Spirit gives witness to what's true. It's the Spirit, not your senses. Believe me now, there is a contention and a war going on between what's soulish and what's spiritual. Your soul is warring against your spirit. The Bible says the flesh, the soulish nature, that word is soulish. The flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars and lusts against the flesh. The two are contrary one to the other, so that you won't do the things that you would. In other words, your spirit is the governor of your flesh and your soul. Your senses must be brought under subjection to your spirit so you won't do the wrong thing. It feels good. It sounds right. It's attractive to me. It seems like something I would enjoy, but it's evil. It's demonic wisdom. It's the wisdom of the demons. The young girl told you about all the things that are not natural. It sounds, if you could sit there at first and say, that's right. Yeah, those GMOs. I should be eating better. Jeez, that is true. You know, there's a lot of stuff in the food. I can see that. That's true. These chemtrails. Yeah, that's true. Well, Caucasians are not natural. See, that's how the devil slip in on you. This is an old trick they teach salesmen. You know that? Here's the old trick you teach a salesman when you're selling the car to you. He'll say, now you want leather seats, right? He'll start shaking his head. Yeah, you know what you'll start doing? You'll say, he's getting you subconsciously to agree. They teach them that. When you're talking to people to shake your head, yeah. And you're looking for possibly, you know, a good sound system, I know. Mm-hmm. And again, you want something that's going to be in the price range of a note you can afford, no more than $350 or so. Mm-hmm. And you send that, you send it to you while shaking. Yeah, you. Yeah. How can two walk together lest there be agreed? The devil got to get you to affirm your bondage by agreement. That's why they take you through indoctrination and sororities and fraternities and Masons and the Eastern Stars. They got to get you to do what? Agree to it. That's why they take you through systems to weed you out to make sure you'll be faithful. That's why they downgrade you and treat you like a dog to join a sorority, so they'll know you'll be a committed, submitted member. They got to get your agreement. Your own mouth can curse you just by saying, "I do." You ever heard all the Pledge of Allegiance curses in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic, the rule of law for which the flag stands. Now look at the laws. Legalized homosexuality, abortion, all this stuff are the laws of the land. You pledge an allegiance to it. And then Kaepernick says, I'm not paying homage to the flag. They're ready to kill him. Look, if we're a land of liberty, he has the right not to pay homage to the flag. So that tells you, you've been indoctrinated by a Nazi mind. If you think he's just, he's not American. Well, his American right is not to do it. They're looking for conformity at all costs. They're looking for you to be a clone. You got to be a part of the status quo, a part of the collective. What makes you not part of the collective? You got another government and another governmental authority you submitted to. The lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ supersedes all other governments. If it costs you in the time and space arena and this government here, so be it. I must remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. They commanded the disciples, "Do not speak any longer in his name. The Lord has spoken. I must prophesy." Should I obey God or should I obey man? I'm not bowing the knee to Nebuchadnezzar. I represent the Lord here. He is the primary focus. Well, the government crosses up with God. I choose the government of God. That's how you got to be, man. Or else you will bow the knee to illegitimate authority and they'll have you obeying the laws of the land to your own destruction. Nebuchadnezzar was the legal law of the land in Babylon. The Hebrew boys said, "I can't bow." Because God's government and his authority supersedes yours, Nebuchadnezzar. That's how you got to live this thing at the end, because there's going to be tremendous pressure put upon you to bow the knee to the changes made in the law. I'll say that again. Daniel told you they're going to change the laws and seasons. They're going to change the legal system and tell you it's against the law to speak against homosexuality. And the Bible, well, the Bible says it's an abomination. You can't say that publicly. You say it again, you'll be fined. Say it the third time, you're going to be in prison. The last time you say it, we're going to hang you. Well, the Bible still says, for a man to lie with a man as he lies with a woman is an abomination. No matter what you do to me, the Bible stands sure. The testimony stands sure. It does not change for anybody, you, me, or anybody. It's going to stay the same today, tomorrow, and forevermore. If God says it's an abomination, it's an abomination. I don't care who gets involved in it. No matter what Raven Simone says, it's an abomination. It don't matter what preachers say about it, it's an abomination. No matter what the president says about it, it's still an abomination. God does not bring his word down to accommodate man in any case, any situation, or in any environment. You must measure up to the word of God. He will not come down to us. He will not conform to us. We've got to be transformed into his nature. So look at this. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. You better get some Holy Ghost to pray in, is what you better do. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. So compassion can save some folks. And others save with fear. Fear can save some folks. See, it's never some kind of a pattern way to save people. Love and tender compassion, you can reach some tender-hearted folk and save them. Some folks, you got to scare the liver out of them to save them. So on some, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the nasty flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. He's talking about governmental authority there. He's got all power. You got to transition away from the devil's government to the government of God for you to get access to God's throne. You can't be a rebel and have God walk with you. That same story is again categorized again. We won't read this one. But when you get a chance, go to 2 Peter chapter 2, and you'll get a repeat almost verbatim of that same dialogue about Sodom and Gomorrah, the fallen angels. All of that is representative of the end times. We're seeing the end time scenario, the days of Noah and the days of Lot. You can't see that he cataloged here the days of Noah and the days of Lot. That's the end time depiction. We're back to the days of Noah and Lot. Just look around. Atlanta is the sodomite capital of the South. Young woman is almost destitute here. Go out to dinner on Saturday night and watch all the young women sitting around in the restaurants, 8, 10, 12 to a table, drinking martinis and laughing with a table full of homosexual guys one table over. Ladies dressed to kill, I mean sharp as a tack, fine, good-looking, professional women. Strutting by this table of homosexuals thinking they're getting some attention. Attention, that guy can't even, don't even know they're lying. Don't even like women. A guy sitting in front of you with no desire for a woman whatsoever. I don't like women. I don't care how pretty you are, how shapely you are. Women don't appeal to me. You can't turn me on. I don't notice you. All I notice is this muscle-built dude right here next to me. And his beard. I love his beard. And I love his eyelashes and his build. And I just want him on me. So you trying to get some guy to like you. I want this guy with me. Now think about the competition that is. Here you are in front of a guy thinking you doing something, strutting around. And he's thinking, man, I sure would like to be with that dude you with. You walking through with your husband. He wants your husband. And you think you on top of your game. That's the environment we're in. It's Sodom and Gomorrah. It's the days of Noah and the days of Lot repeating itself. And now you go to the White House, to the Supreme Court, to the judiciary, to the schools, everywhere trying to tell you the days of Noah and the days of Lot are normal. Why do you think they put Ellen DeGeneres on TV, married to a woman, and telling you this is a beautiful couple? They want you just to accept it and drink it down. Can't you see the Christian is becoming the odd person out? Speak up publicly on your job or something and see how you are marginalized and you're the weirdo. And all you are is just normal. And they stand against you with a vengeance. You and that stinking Bible. The girl tells you there, you don't need a book. I'm natural. You naturally damned to hell. You going to hell. You are a renegade against God. You're a rebel against God. And you're trying to make God accept your natural attributes. Are you crazy? There's nothing good about you. The man says, I'm persuaded in my flesh, thereby is no good thing. There is none righteous, no, not one. Unless there's divine intervention to save you, you were born dead on arrival. D-O-A, damned on arrival. You don't have anything about you that's salvageable unless you come to Jesus to salvage you and to save you from your impending eternal disaster. That's the truth. If you can't look at this environment around us and see this, there's something bad wrong with you. I don't even have to make my case heavy anymore because the environment is affirming everything I say. It's undeniable I'm right. The wisdom of the demons. What are we looking at? Worldly wisdom. John, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 15. World famous 1 John 2:15. He says, do what? Love not this world, neither the things that are in this filthy world, everything in the world is of the Father, is of the world and not of the Father. So he said, don't love this world, neither the things that are in this nasty world. If anybody is in love with this world, the love of the Father is not in him. So you see now, the world is diametrically opposed to the Father. That word for world there is the word cosmos. It's two words in the Greek for the word world, cosmos and eon. Cosmos is the fashions and the designs of the world. Like if you get a fashion coming out of New York or Paris or London, that's the world. It's cosmos. We get the word cosmetology from it. It looks like something that's been designed in fashion. You're looking at it. You can see the attributes of it. You can see the fashions of it, the designs, the architecture. That's the world, the cosmos. Now, the word eon means the time. So it says, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 1, we deliver from the present evil age. That word there is the word for eon, the present evil world. So we're delivered from the time and space continuum, the fashions and the time period we live in. So you don't have any appendage to the time period. People talk about what's in style. You don't care. The TV show Scandal, Empire, Power, all these TV shows. I'm not thinking about that garbage. You heard Jay-Z's new album. I could care less about that trash. That's why people don't like you, because you're not affiliated with and appended to their world. That's why you become alien to them, because I'm being delivered from this present evil world. All the fashions, all the entertainment, all the things that enthrall you, I'm delivered from it. So you can go to a football game, but you don't worship a team. You just go and look at a football game, eat your popcorn, drink your soda, and go home. You're not there painted purple and gold with spikes in your hair, yelling and diving off of the platform and turning cartwheels because somebody won. The Cubs won the World Series and you about to go crazy, busting out car windows and busting out storefronts. And what's wrong with you? Don't you understand the Cubs won? Do you play for the Cubs? Are you a member of the team? You didn't win anything. You see how stupid people are? That's the love of the world. They get their identity from the world. Says the love of the Father is not in you if you're like that. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father. So get that straight. Everything down here didn't come from the Father, God. It came from the devil, the god of this world. It's of the world, and the world passes away and the lust and desires thereof. But he that doeth the will, not hear of the will, doeth the will of God, lives forever. So you got to do this. Faith without works is dead. You got to do this. You do what you have become. You pray in the flesh and pray in soul power, and you're not the thing. You're just doing a dead work. You got to be the thing and then do the works of the thing. What good is it for all of us to stand up in this room and bark and none of us are dogs? We're doing what dogs do, but I'm not organically a dog. You can pray and have no power because you're not the vessel and the life type that God hears. You're not born again. You're not regenerated. You're only saying dead prayers. Well, what am I running on? If I pray and God won't hear me, what am I running on? Somebody else's prayers. Somebody that he can pray is interceding for you because you can't pray. The Bible says plainly, know of you not that God hears not the prayers of sinners? God hears not the prayers of sinners. He don't hear sinners' prayers. The only prayer you hear from a sinner is a cry for salvation. That's it. Now, a sinner is running off of the prayers of the saints. Somebody's interceding for you. That's the only thing that's keeping you alive as a sinner. Because you're separated from, the Bible says you're in the world without God. So you need intercession by somebody that really knows him so that you don't get yourself killed on a daily basis. So you see now, this thing is always operative. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4, the first book after Hebrews, James chapter 4. Verse 1, from whence come wars and fighters among you? Come they not hence from even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world, again the cosmos, is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You never have to think about it. Just see somebody a friend of the world, that's the enemy of God. Don't think if you see the world exalting them, if you see T.D. Jakes on the cover of Time magazine calling him the next Billy Graham, that's the enemy of God. Don't think the Pope is accepted all over the world as some kind of a representative of God and welcomed in the nations and the world embraces him, that's the enemy of God.
Right.
Don't think if you're a friend of the world, you are the enemy of God. The world will despise you if you come to Christ because you're in another governmental authority. You're not of this world. You've transcended time and space. You've been taken out of the world. You're in it, but not of it. Worldly wisdom. What does it do? It reinforces pride and racial identity. When you receive worldly wisdom, you become proud. Notice how everybody in false religious structures are always proud. They're unapproachable because they've been sealed up in pride. That's not God. It causes schisms in the body of Christ, worldly wisdom does. It instigates exclusivity. It'll try to cull you off to make you exclusive. See, we wear our hair like this, and everybody wears a bun. Or we wear these color robes. Or we are part of the world changers. It excludes you. So you're never incorporated in the entire global body of Christ. You're exclusively set apart so that you're part of this thing that's outside of the framework where everybody else is operating. Oneness Pentecostalism. God is one God that expresses himself three ways. It excludes you and they become very religious and proud. It's a doctrine worldly wisdom brings about works and is going to be pitted against organic truth and growth. That's a big difference. Works through an unsaved vessel versus organic growth. In other words, there's no effort in what you do. An unsaved person got to try to do it. What you do by nature, they have to try to do it. You can always pick them up because they're overly expressive. They always try to do so much to try to do, just try to, you know, praise and worship. Ha, yeah, yeah, ha. Man, just relax, man. What's wrong with you? Because they're trying to work up what comes by nature to you. When you in this works mentality, because you haven't really been born again, you're overly exerting soulish energy to try to look like you're sowing to God. And you never do have peace inside. Because you're always trying to prove to somebody, I'm just as saved as you are. And you're thinking about, I don't know how saved I am. I don't have any kind of parameter. I never think about it one way or the other. Because it's organic. When you are what you are, there's no real thought about what you do. That's the works of faith because you've organically been changed into another kind of lifetime. And see, when there's energy exerted to try to do, that's the sign on you that you don't have it. Works versus organic growth. That's what worldly wisdom will bring to you. What's Satan's goal through demonic wisdom? He wants you to worship your own mind. He wants you to get knowledge and information and data so that you become top heavy and you begin to worship your own intellect and your own philosophical outlook on life. And you worship your own mind. Man, Hebrew Israelites and Muslims, man, they're bathed in this. They think that they want to get against a Christian and pit themselves against a Christian. They even study the Bible for strife and argument and debate. And you tell them, hey, bro, whatever you want to believe is fine with me. See, in the position I have right now, they always try to seek me out to try to prove a point to me. They ask those questions like, what do you think about? I said, I really don't think about it at all, bro. Well, I believe. I said, whatever you want to believe is fine. Well, you're a coward. I'm a coward. What are you talking about? I'm trying to talk to you and you won't even step up to the plate and represent yourself. I say, I represent Christ. I don't represent myself. I have nothing to prove. I have nothing to debate. Everybody outside of Israel is a Gentile, bro. If you're not in Christ, you're a Gentile. You can't even see what I'm talking about anyway. You can't even understand the most minuscule precept concerning Christ, and you're trying to debate something with your illogical, crazy mind bathed in a delusion. And you don't even know you're fighting your own damn, you're fighting against your own salvation. You're fighting for your damnation. You're fighting to be damned and don't even know it. Satan has got you so bound, he's thinking through you and talking through your mouth the very thing that's damning your soul, and you don't even know it. I don't have a debate with you. There's no argument. Somebody's right, somebody's wrong. Christ is always right, and everybody else is wrong. That's how it goes. Satan's demonic wisdom leads to philosophical Gnosticism, and it's founded and grounded in research. What's philosophical Gnosticism? The word philosophical means philos is the Greek word for love. You know, the city of love is Philadelphia. The word sophical comes from a love of Sophia is wisdom. So philosophy is a love of wisdom, and it leads to Gnosticism, which is knowledge. Salvation through knowledge. So what happens is you're seeking to be saved through knowledge, so you develop a philosophical wisdom. In other words, it's a philosophy based in research and knowledge. So now you're walking around thinking you're very philosophical. And you get all these folk like Professor Griff, Tupac. See, people like Tupac because Tupac, have you ever heard Tupac talk? He was very philosophical. Malcolm X, Farrakhan, or Barack Obama. They like them because they seem to be oratorical. They seem to be very philosophical and wise. So they listen to those words and they're thinking, and they're bringing tears to your eyes, just crying about the plight of the black man. And they're spitting all this knowledge. And it's nothing but demonic wisdom. And you're impressed by it. And you get caught up in it. Next thing you know, you out there marching, pumping your fists in the air, talking about Black Lives Matter. Been driven crazy by philosophical, demonic wisdom. It leads to philosophical Gnosticism. You become full of the demonic wisdom. The demonic knowledge breeds a love of the demonic wisdom. And you become philosophical. That was Socrates, Aristotle, and Plato. They were masters of it. Epicurus was another one. Epicurus said that we must worship nothing but pleasure. Anything that is not pleasurable is not God. So if it brings pleasure, that's God. If it brings suffering, that's the devil. That's what you call being Epicurean. Epicurus was a Greek philosopher that taught Epicureanism. So Plato, you get words like platonic relationships and stuff like that. Plato was just caught up in all these things that are germane to deep thought and being very, very astute in your mind and trying to understand the deep meanings of life. Aristotle was the same way. You know, Socrates the same way. All this stuff that people get wrapped up in is based on the wisdom of the demons. What happens? That wisdom is pitted against the revelation of the Holy Ghost. It'll give false revelations based on worldly wisdom. So you think you know something and you're a deep thinker, but you're demonically deep. You're bathed in the doctrine of the demons. You become a student of the Jehovah Witnesses. See, it's one thing to be a surface Jehovah's Witness, but when you get deep in it and you all caught up and it's just embedded in you, man, you're close to reprobation and you can't be retrieved. You can be a surface Muslim, but then you become a deep Muslim that you believe every tenet of the Quran. You just read the Quran all day. You pray five times a day. You are serious while other people are joking. You're headed to a reprobation and the inability to be retrieved. Take anyone, Masons. It's one thing to be a 6th or 7th degree Mason, but when you become a 33rd degree Mason and they expose you to being Luciferian and you find that the Lucifer is the God of the Masons for real, when you cross over that bridge, you become reprobate. You're headed toward damnation, imminent damnation, because now you know that all this stuff that we've been doing down in the lower levels is not real. Now I understand as a sorority member and a fraternity brother, I'm really a Luciferian. When you get to the higher levels, see, they don't tell the initiates. You got to go up what? Degrees. When you leave college, what do you get? A degree. because you've gone through the disciplines of the universities and colleges. Remember, colleges are basically liberal art institutions, but universities are for the more astute academic minds. The technical minds, the specialists are for universities. You got a degree in humanities in college, in the liberal arts and stuff like that. It's general education. So you see now, you're going to get an advanced degree, a master's or a doctorate. Now you have perfected your craft. And they got you top heavy and your mind becomes philosophical. And you can't tell those people anything. Because I am at the top of the totem pole. I have my doctorate. And who are you to talk to me? Now you're sealed up in your own damnation with the wisdom of the demons governing in your mind. So what's the way out of this thing? I'm going to tell you something today that very few people know about, and I'm not trying to be deep. God knows I don't try to be deep when I'm saying this stuff, but it might come across that way because it's so foreign now to church people. The way out is to understand the mystery of the blood of Jesus. That's how you get free from all this stuff, this indoctrination by demons. The blood of Jesus is designed to set you free. What's going on? If you check out the people in the Luciferian cultures of the world, the Illuminati, the New World Order people, all these folks you see moving into realms of power. You see, Jay-Z and Beyonce are not just entertainers that worked hard and made it. They gave their souls to the devil to make it. Lil Wayne had to be given over to the devil to be exalted. He's just another joker from the Ninth Ward down in New Orleans. For all the devil thinks of him. The devil thinks nothing of him. But hey, if you'll sell out to me. Bob Dylan told you, I sold my soul to the devil to move up. The Beatles had to sell out to the devil to move up. Michael Jackson became a demonic magician dealing with young boys for power to move up. See, you understand in witchcraft now, the semen of young boys give you power. That's why Eddie Long is out there sodomizing young boys and drinking their semen because he wanted the power that he got from the young boy's semen.